Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Long Shots, the RBC Heritage Edition. It is Matt Brown. It is Kelly Bidlin. It is Wes Reynolds. It is a golf betting podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. Appreciate you guys subscribing. And if you haven't done so already, go ahead, hit that subscribe button. Do appreciate that as well. Fellows, we will get into what's going to go down over there at Harbortown. Elevated event, limited field, no cut. But let's go ahead, do a quick little recap of what went on over at Augusta.
Pretty much
what we said happened. I got my ass kicked this week. I won two bets. I won a Will Zalatoris top 10. I won a Scotty three ball, and that was it. And everything else was a loser. And so not a profitable tournament for me. But, you know, listen, you're not going to win every single week. So it kind of is what it is. And, you know, it did, I will admit, change my approach at least a little bit for this week as we enter this thing as to how I'm going to approach. And, you know, we can actually talk a little bit of betting strategy when we get to our card a little bit later, too. But more than anything, guys, I made a statement on Twitter that I got some backlash from. I kind of want to get y'all's opinion on this, where I was kind of saying, like, listen, he's already the best player in the world without a doubt right now. And I said, from a pure skills perspective, he's probably in the GOAT discussion. And if he continues on this run, he is going to be firmly in the GOAT discussion. And then I got, you know, all the people coming and screaming at me about Tiger and stuff like that. But, you know, if you look, and Wes, you know, you're a good historian on the statistics and all stuff like that. He drives it farther than Tiger. His ball striking numbers are better than Tiger. His short game numbers are better than Tiger. The only thing that is not as good as Tiger is the putting stuff. And I don't know if that's not coming around as well. Now, has he done it as long as Tiger? Of course not. He hasn't done it. He only turned pro 4 years ago. So no, he has not done it as long as Tiger. I was saying he is well on the way there with the numbers that he is putting up. And I got met with so much resistance, but if you look, the guy, the last nine majors, he's gained 101 strokes on the field over the last nine majors. I mean, this is insanity. And I guess, you know, if you want a fanboy and stuff, we get in, people want to argue the Jordan versus LeBron stuff and all that stuff like that. And like, nobody wants to take into consideration that maybe the person of their generation could be getting eclipsed by someone, you know, coming along the way. I just don't know why we can't look at what we're seeing right now and give full appreciation to Scotty and understand that what we are seeing right now is really some ridiculously historic stuff against a much deeper field of golfers than Tiger had to deal with.
Yeah, and look, I think at least people should go halfway, which is where I'm going here, because of the fact that, yeah, not yet with the raw numbers where Tiger was winning eight times a year, multiple years, and won three majors in a season, because we have seen probably over the last decade, we've seen little spurts from several different players. We've seen a spurt from Rory. We've seen a spurt when Jason Day was number one in the world. We've seen one from Brooks. We've seen one from DJ. We've seen one from Jordan Spieth. We've seen one from Rom. This feels like it has a longer staying power than just a spurt. Now, who knows? Maybe, you know, his impending arrival here within the next week or week and a half or so, maybe that changes you a little bit. I have no idea, but I just know from what I see with my eyes, you know, and then obviously looking at the numbers, he's putting up numbers that are lapping the field right now. So you at least got to go halfway. Now, I'm not one of these ones that say, okay, he should be odds on to win a major. Not yet, but look, if he finishes 2024 and he's won at least two majors and, you know, six times, like let's say six overall wins on the tour, six or seven, then you're probably looking at a guy that's going to get into like plus 2-1 or 250 range at least to win this thing. So yeah, he's not there yet, but he's closer than any player has been in the last decade plus.
Yeah, we look at this guy and I we don't have to sit here and say all the stats because we say them every week whenever we preview these tournaments, right? Like, we can tell you all of the categories that he is number one on tour, and it's basically all of them, you know? And so it's just a deal where I'm not saying this is taking nothing away from Tiger. What I think we should just be able to have a nice discussion about and at least understand is Tiger bred this generation of players. Mm-hmm. Like Tiger started this deal where guys that weigh 165 pounds can drive at 320 yards, like Will Zalatoris and all this. Like, Tiger made these guys. Now, are the fields deeper now than they were when Tiger was going through this? It is unequivocally yes. Like, you have to understand that. Like, there are more guys that tee it up every single week on the PGA Tour now that can go out and win than there was when Tiger was in his heyday. Again, that is not a knock against Tiger. He can only play against the people that were of his generation and that were in the fields with him. But it still doesn't change the fact that this is the deepest the PGA Tour has ever been with seasoned veterans. And I say seasoned veterans, it's got like guys in their mid-30s now. You know, like guys in their mid-30s are the seasoned veterans.
Maybe a year ago or a year and a half ago is the deepest we'd ever seen. But yeah.
And like, and now you're getting all these guys in their early 20s that are legitimate, real contenders every time they tee it up. And I think we just have to be able to acknowledge that without saying that it's asinine for us to consider.
It's not asinine. I'm going to go halfway like Wes. I'm that guy that wants to say, don't ruin my childhood. Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods were the greatest I've ever seen. But I think it's asinine for you not to be able to entertain a conversation like this because of everything you just said. I think a lot of what you just said is the Jordan LeBron comp, right? It's okay. A lot of what Jordan was doing, people weren't doing in the NBA, and that helped develop the game and take it to a next level. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, he wasn't playing against players that I feel like LeBron has had to play through his entire career. He didn't have to go up through, you know, athletic freaks like Giannis Antetokounmpo, a guy like that changed the game in shooting the ball with Stephen Curry. Like, it's kind of the same type of argument to me. It's just, it's understanding what greatness looks like in different eras of the sport, whether we're talking the NBA or whether we're talking golf. I think that applies. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of the same arguments that carry over.
It's just people think that whenever you're comparing eras, that you're knocking the previous one, and it's not that. It's just understanding the stuff evolves. Sports evolves. Like, sports has evolved the same, and golf has evolved just like all the other sports. And so for us to look at what Scottie Scheffler's doing, who is averaging a ridiculously long amount off the tee, who is putting the ball 12 feet from the hole every friggin' approach that he does, that is literally butter hands around the green and all these things. Like, you can point a hole in one aspect of his game, and that's the putting. And he's figured it out good enough to go out and win a ton of times in the last 3 years. And so I just don't, you know, again, I think we have to really do appreciate the greatness that we're witnessing right now with Scottie Scheffler. As far as other takeaways from the tournament, guys, being out there on Friday, I don't you know.
Yeah, you were. How was it? How was the pimento cheese, the pimento sandwich? Did you have one?
If you think for a second that I'm going to eat a pimento cheese sandwich that had been sitting out for like who knows how many hours and whatever and all that. It's like, I just see these guys walking by and grabbing these pimento cheese and egg salad sandwiches that are like sitting out.
Egg salad sitting out.
Yeah, like sitting out. And I'm like, you guys are braver than I am. Like, I like,
you got it. There's sashimi back there too.
I'm like, my ass ain't touching that. Like, I mean, I ain't touching it. Like, it's not happening.
How was the cocktail selection?
Dude, not great.
Really?
Yeah, beer and white wine.
I don't know why I just thought to ask that, but like, I mean, golf's kind of elevating the entertainment factor, and the Masters. No, did you say beer and white wine?
Everywhere else, yes. Not at the Masters. Beer and white wine only. That's it.
Does everybody know this? Am I just finding this out?
I can tell you this. I don't think everyone knows this because I sure as hell didn't know that when I got there, it was going to be beer and wine.
Oh, my God. Breaking news. Steven Jung, grab this for a clip. Are you kidding me? Beer and white wine is all they serve at the Masters?
Yeah. I was expecting something more
bougie.
Cross
it off my list. Yeah, cross it off my list, Matt.
I said to one of the ladies at the checkout, and I said, hey, where can I get like a bootleg cocktail around here? Like there has to be someone like, you know, back behind a bush or something. And she goes, well, do you know a member? And I'm like, I was like, I do not know a member. And she goes, well, then there ain't no cocktails out here. And I was like, so it's basically like you can go in the clubhouse and you can get yourself a cocktail if you're a member. But like, yeah, that was
beer and white wine only. Yeah. My mind is blown right now.
And let me tell you something, fellas, since it was a very, very long day out there, I was like, I can't drink beer for 12 hours.
Right,
like,
yes.
So I had more white wine in one single day than I've had in my whole life combined. Like literally in my whole life combined, I had more white wine in a single day than I had combined in all of her. And it was horrible. Like, it got to a point, like, listen, we're all friends here on this podcast. Yeah. It's fine. No one's, you know, it's just the three of us. It got to the point like midway through the afternoon where I was buying a Powerade and I was like taking a slug of white and then shooting it with a shot of Powerade. Like, I was making my own little mixed drink because I couldn't get it down anymore. Like, it was so bad. Like, it was so horrible.
I definitely would have had like four beers and then I would have been like, I can't walk around anymore. I'm entirely way too full to move anymore. Yeah. I'm going to have to plant my ass on whatever.
Like,
whatever
let me get one of them Georgia peach iced teas, please.
Sitting there shooting wine, chasing wine with Powerade because like that's the only way that I could get it down.
Well, at least you powered through, man. Yeah, there you go. I'm impressed.
So the thing I will say though, is that weather, I know they talked about it a ton. I know whatever, but like it really was insane. There were points I had to close my eyes. I couldn't even see. It was blowing stuff all around so badly, whatever. So I'm not going to say we got robbed out of a normal tournament of the Masters, but like, look, nobody was trying anything at all. Like, I mean, like nothing. Like, it was just survival out there. And I get it because I mean, literally there were multiple times I had to duck my head and cover up my eyes because stuff was just flying around, hit me in the eyes and couldn't whatever. So, you know, I'm taking nothing away from Scotty. I'm just talking more about the guys that really, really struggled and not necessarily the guys that missed the cut, but the guys that just, you know, finished a little bit lower. They didn't really have four rounds to go at it, you know? And like, I do wonder if it could have changed anything, but all that does is just really highlight how much better Scotty is than everybody else because he was able to navigate all of that. And he was playing in the toughest of it. Like, you know,
those guys that were out super early on Thursday probably got the best of those conditions for like 2 hours because there was some softness of the course. And then obviously the wind picked up, and one of those guys of course was Bryson.
Yeah.
And that's why he was in contention because I think he was like the fifth group out, I want to say, on Thursday. Yeah. So those guys got like the best of it. And then it all of a sudden evened out.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, I mean, look, the Sunday was awesome, but like, I feel like a lot of people are giving Scotty a whole lot of credit for what he did on Sunday. I said a couple times over the weekend, it was kind of him battling through that Thursday, Friday, where it was like, I'm back. You were out there. I'm back, you know, back home watching it on the couch, watching basically full coverage from beginning to end. And it was, you know, we've seen this before at US Opens, at British Opens, and what, you know, but some of these guys that are world-class players, when they just can't, like you said, try anything or even just play the game that they want to play because they're getting so frustrated by the conditions, by the wind, you know, rain early, I guess, but, you know, wind for the most part. And then, I mean, the greens. I don't remember seeing a Masters where, the you know, guys were missing putts by, it was a foot and a half wide, you know, left or right of the hole. And it was, you could see it on all their faces and in almost everybody, except for every time you saw Scottie Scheffler. It was just, okay, same looks on his face. He's going to go out there, do his thing, and continue to cruise through those first couple rounds, just hanging around right at the top of that leaderboard. And I thought that really made the difference because I don't think any of us had any doubts once we were rolling into Sunday that was going to be the guy slipping on the green jacket. I think sure, you had some impressive names at the top. I didn't think for a second it was going to be Scheffler walking away, though, without that thing.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. It just was one of those deals where you just look at it and it felt inevitable. Certainly did get home with all that. Of course, most of those people are going to be here this week. We'll talk about them and what they, if there was anything that we thought carried over here as we head to the RBC Heritage at Harbortown. Wes, what are we going to be looking at from a course perspective? Because it is quite different this week than last.
Yeah, it is very different. Of course, you had those very wide fairways there at Augusta at 51 yards wide on average. These aren't exactly like really super tight, narrow ones, but still 33 yards wide on average. This is more of a ball striker course. It is a par 71 at Harbortown Golf Links, 72-13 Pete Dye design. So coastal links that is a little bit tree lined and you got some dog legs and some narrow sight lines. But it is kind of interesting because some of the courses like play into like, or some of the holes rather play into like a housing development. And then some are really by the water, especially 17 and 18. We know 17, that par three with the sound. And then the 18th, of course, has that lighthouse that's so recognizable and iconic for this course. So, yeah, this is a course where you're going to be taking less than driver.
So, Wes, only two true coastal holes on this course?
Yeah, 17 and 18. There are water hazards, but in terms of right off the coast, yeah, 17 and 18, that sound, Calabogue sound, I'm going to try to, hopefully I pronounce that right, but, you know, just looking it up. But most of the holes do play inland because, you know, it kind of goes through the trees, and then there's a lot of residential housing developments around there in Hilton Head. So, yeah, par 71, like I said, three par fives, 11 par fours, and then four par threes. So, yeah, you're going to be taking less than driver a lot off this course, and I'm sure we'll point that out when we get to our stat modeling in that discussion. You're not going to be taking driver very often off this course here at Harbortown.
Yeah, it is super small greens, and I'm sure that's something that we'll talk about a lot as well, as trying to figure out how these guys are going to be able to navigate that as we get into it. But Kelly, as we look at the odds board this week for the RBC, as we mentioned, it's a lot of the guys from last week. As of right now, unless you guys have heard anything in the last hour or so, Scottie Scheffler, Sam Burns, both still in it, both still going to play in this, though it was brought up multiple times that they would withdraw from the Masters should their significant others go into labor. If that was last week and they were going to do it and it was the Masters, they will certainly do it this week at the RBC. So take that into consideration if you want to bet either one of those guys. But Scottie Scheffler, 4-1 on the odds board. Xander at 10-1. Rory, 12-1. Ludwig, 12-1. Cantlay, 14. Fleetwood, 18. Morikawa, 18. Everybody else, 25 or longer. As you were kind of perusing the odds boards over there, of course, these odds are courtesy of DraftKings Sportsbook. As you were kind of looking at the odds board, did anything stand out to you other than the fact that we finally have it to where Rory is no longer the second guy on the odds board?
Yeah, that would be one of the big ones. And then I think some of the guys that, you know, I'm guessing all three of us were a little surprised to see at the top, you know, near the top of the leaderboard last week, and Colin Morikawa and Max Homa right there immediately back to 25-1, 18-1 respectively for Homa and Morikawa. Of just, I don't think they would have been, it would have been anything close to those odds if they didn't put up the Masters results that they did. Still not, you know, take out the Masters, still not great form on the season. Patrick Cantlay at 14-1, but we know he's got really, really good history at this event. So not too surprising there. And I want to bring it back to that Scheffler point real quick. I don't, Sam Burns, I don't really know if any of us, except for maybe Matt, are playing up betting this week. I can't ever say that about Sam Burns when Matt's around. But Scheffler, if we know we're recording at 5 p.m. Pacific time on Tuesday. At this point, he's got to be teeing it up, right?
You would certainly think so.
You would think, but I mean, you know.
This is kind of weird to me.
But I mean, he flies private. I mean, literally got on the jet and flew back to Dallas and was out at a bar. So, I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, he could be taking the night to see what's happening. I mean, for all we know, I don't know. I mean,
I will say I made a couple bets as soon as market opened. I mean, this is just basically carrying over my bad Masters betting making a couple bets thinking Scottie Scheffler was going to withdraw. Mm. But it hasn't happened yet. And I'm regretting a little bit the numbers of the guys that I selected at the time. So just a little preview of what's to come. But I think at this point I'm kind of expecting him to go. I'm surprised. I don't know if this is a bit of a poker feel or something right now, Matt, where he's like, man, I'm rolling. Like, well, I've got the best of it. I'm going to keep playing and racking up big checks. Maybe that's what he's feeling because he knows he's going to be taking some time off here soon.
That's kind of my guess. I got this an elevated event. I might have 2 weeks left and then I'm going to be off for a while. So like,
play next week. He's probably taking off. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I think he's looking at this. It's one more chance at a big check. Go hit it and then, take a few weeks off is my guess, in all this. Wes, as we look at the odds board, we do see some of these guys that just haven't really quite put it all together start to drift, right? Finau down at 45-1 in a 69-player field. Tom Kim at 45-1 in a 69-player field. You go down Brian Harman, not even a year removed from a major 50-1 in a 69-player field. Justin Thomas, who we thought was maybe kind of rounding into form, that putter is just completely gone. And I know that can be streaky, but man, he just looks lost on the greens. Has slipped all the way to 35-1. So we started to see some of these guys where their recent play is now catching up to them on the odds board.
Yeah, and I'll go with one shorter than that in terms of like probably a permanent realignment. Mm. We keep trying to time when Ludwig Aubert is going to get his first like really huge win. Mm. Of course, he's won once on the DP World Tour and won the RSM in the season finale last year. But, because we were kind of like, okay, this is first time playing these courses. Maybe he's going to drift a little bit. No chance after what we saw last weekend. Yeah. No chance. He is going to be in the mid-teens. And if you're going to hit him at his first big event, that's the price you're going to get. You're not going to get some high 20s or 30-ish-1 on Ludwig Aubert. He's too damn good. And look, I know he hit it in the water, at the Amen Corner on Sunday. But look, he was going for it.
Yeah.
And he was going for the win. And I respected that. Now, Max Homa, who I think we all like, I wish Max would have, maybe don't take the 3-wood when you're trying to chase down Darth Vader and you're 3-back on a par 5. Maybe you got to get the big dog out and try to hit that scary tee shot. But yeah, Ludwig, you're just not going to get any breaks on this guy from a price. I mean, he'd already been priced like a several time tour winner, and he's going to continue.
That's a very good point. And you actually, you look at his stats and through the very, very short term of his career, Kelly, all of his stats are better than everyone. Like he has driven it better than anyone that has been on tour for as little as he has struck it better than everybody. He actually is even putting better. Like you look at the historical putting stuff for these guys that have been on tour as little as he has, and he's doing that better than everybody else too. We kind of said this from the beginning of the season. We were like, he's going to win. It's just win. But Wes, that's a very great point. Like, I mean, this is just it. Like, especially in these short field events, like, we ain't getting no 20, 21, 22. Like, it's just not happening. So you either have to be okay with paying the short price or just understand you might miss out on the win and, maybe figure out other ways to get exposure to him, right? I mean, that's the other thing that we, I think, are going to have to do, us as bettors, us as a podcast, maybe the whole industry as bettors and things. Maybe the best thing's ever going to happen to us is Scotty having a baby, because like he'll have to take a few weeks off and actually bet a tournament normally. But it's just trying to figure out alternative ways to go about these things, until he kind of cools off with all of that. But yeah, that's just kind of the price we're going to get with him, Kelly, moving forward.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, he's putting it all together. I think there is, I think one of the biggest compliments you can give, obviously he did well last week, so that will affect some of the stats, but it's, you know, we run all these stat models and everything, and it's, okay, the dude was top five on everything last week at a very different course. He's top five again for me on every model I run. He's a top five up there. So on a very, very different course, it requires a very different skill set. So I think when you start to see that, I mean, Scheffler's been locked number one on those for every single tournament we've run this year. But, you know, Ludwig's top five now on every single one of those you run. And that is a massive, massive, you know, massive achievement by him. And yeah, great point by Wes. If you're looking to be the guy who gets in, you know, on a big win or a big score on Ludwig, he's about as best you're going to get these days.
Yeah, not happening, unfortunately. So maybe we can figure out ways to make money on him moving forward. Guys, just a reminder, if you are new to this podcast, or if you're wondering, hey, what the hell is going on? Where is my Around the World? Remember, we have split that off into a separate podcast now, so even more reason to go in and subscribe to Long Shots, because that will just automatically show up in your feed as well. So be sure and go ahead and hit that subscribe button in your podcast of choice. And also, if you want to become a VSiN Pro subscriber on an annual basis, we're going to save you $41 off of the year-long subscription rate if you use the promo code GOLF. So it's pretty easy to remember, G-O-L-F. You're going to, again, you're going to pay $199 instead of $240 whenever you go in and get an annual subscription over there at VSiN.com. Again, not just golf content, every single bit of the other content out there. And that's where it really pays off. Some of the niche stuff. We have all the big horse races that are coming up. That's going to be over there at VSiN.com. So be sure and take advantage of all of that. Again, promo code GOLF. When we come back, we will take a look at what we put into our models, what it spit out, and what made our betting cards here on Long Shots.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back, Long Shots, Golf Betting Podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. Matt, Wes, and Kelly coming to you for the RBC Heritage over at Harbortown, just right down the road there from Augusta over in South Carolina. Kelly, let's go ahead and talk about some stats that you found important this week. Wes, feel free to chime in as Kelly is talking if there's anything that you maybe went a different direction on him with, and or if there's anything that you corroborate with as we tried to get some models here that didn't spit out Scottie Scheffler and that said, hey, if you don't bet Scottie Scheffler, you're a moron, which is basically what the models told us like every week that we run this.
Yes. No, yeah. for the 96th consecutive week, my models continue to tell me that. Yes. Spoiler alert there. But yeah, I mean, look, Wes broke down the course well. I think you're looking for guys that are accurate off the tee. I do think that one note that jumped out to me, second year of an elevated event, they did, you know, they grew out that rough last year to like two and a half inches. That's basically been cut in half. So I do think that's going to be interesting to monitor. You've got a lot of these, a lot of the different tree types, right, with branches that overhang here and stuff. So that might kind of get in the way, like the rough wood. So I don't know how much to factor that into our thinking so far. But, you know, notable, the rough is, you know, half as high as it was last year. And you're looking for, accurate drivers off the tee box here. You need to keep it in the fairway. Maybe though, if they, you know, if that, with that rough being a little shortened, that doesn't affect things as much this year, but we'll have to see. So good drives, you know, driving accuracy, definitely something I looked at pretty heavily this week. And then stroke gained approach, always small greens, looking at opportunities gained, guys that really put it close to the pin. I believe about half the approach shots coming from 150 to 200 yards here historically. So punch that in. It's kind of my only proximity bucket I really looked at in between that range. You got a tough test, holes all around here, but still three par fives on a par 71, plugged those in, think you're going to have to score on those. And then it's, definitely one of the courses because of the small greens. I think you need to factor in around the green play, scrambling, three putt avoidance, that stuff more than what I'd usually look at. So all of that was pretty much everything I punched in for the week.
Yeah, Wes, as we, I'm no weatherman too, stuff that we talked about a lot, you know, but it is a course that can get windy, but as of now, it doesn't look like it's going to be. I think the only thing that's a little bit of note is Sunday, it kind of drops off in temperature, which is weird. Like it's in the 80s. It's kind of like in high 70s, low 80s for the first 3 days, and it looks like a high of like 70 on Sunday. Not that really changes all of that much, but it is going to be kind of a decent little drop there in temperature with everything. What did you throw into the model this week, and what did you kind of avoid this week?
Yeah, I think approach is going to be important more to this week, certainly, than it ended up being last week, because how Scottie Scheffler won, and he said it in the post event press conference, driving and short game. And that's how he went. Like, approach really didn't seem to be all that important last week. I think it will be, though, this week, because the and you could use greens and regulation gained if you want to add some context to that. It's only a 60% greens and regulation rate here, and the tour average is like 65%. So it is a little bit harder because, as you mentioned, Matt, these greens super small. So proximity, I did 150 to 175, 175 to 200. Like Kelly said, about half the approach shots are 150 to 200. So I did look at that. Looked at good drives gained, because you don't necessarily have to take driver here. You're going to be taking a lot of hybrids, a lot of three woods, a lot of irons off the tee. Now, the rough length is shortened from last year, like Kelly mentioned, so you're not going to be penalized by missing the fairway. However, these greens are kind of small. You don't really gain a ton for strokes gained off the tee necessarily. I think it's the second lowest number on the tour. So I felt like good drives gained, maybe even more so than fairways gained, was something that you wanted to look at if you looked at off the tee. I did strokes gained total of courses of less than 7,200 yards, even though this yardage is about 7,215. What I was trying to do is just kind of look and see who does well on these courses that are considered quote unquote less than driver. I did a little stroke gained around the green and scrambling combined here just because the greens are so small and easy to miss. Scrambling actually has been a little bit more important here over the last couple of years based on the recent winners. Strokes gained par 400 to 450, six of them measure that length. So, you know, that's not something I usually like heavily way, but it's something I always kind of put in for context. And then I did strokes gained total, correlated course history. And I think the correlated courses here, couple Pete Dyes, like River Highlands, like Sawgrass, Wailea because it's on the coast, Sea Island, where they play the RSM, Sedgefield, another Carolina characteristic course in terms of the tree layout, and then Colonial and Pebble Beach were what I included in that course history. And who came out number one on that last 36 rounds? Of course, yes. You know who, Scottie Scheffler came up number one on that. So that's what I did this week.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much in alignment here. The approach buckets of 150 to 175, 175 to 200, kind of giving me, it kind of sucks in those par threes as well. Whenever you do those numbers like that. Scrambling around the green, approaching obviously just basic approach a ton. distance from the edge of the fairway. Also, in one of the modeling places that I use, I put that in. Of course, the other modeling places have just the good drive percentage, stuff like that. I actually did a little total driving, and I mainly did that because even if they're clubbing down, the guys that are longer are still going to be hitting 3 wood or 5 wood or 3 iron longer than the dudes who whatever. So I just wanted to see a little bit of guys who are still, you know, hitting it long and straight with all of that. So I did plug that in a little bit as more of a tiebreaker, like Wes was talking about, like 5% in the model, but enough to where it does mess with the rankings at least just a little bit with all of that. And so, yeah, same deal for me, guys. I mean, across the board, doesn't matter what rating system, it doesn't matter what, how long, it doesn't matter whatever. It's Scottie Scheffler with a bullet with all of that. So if somebody wants to bet Scottie Scheffler at 4-1 at this point, I mean, what am I going to tell you? You know, am I going to tell you not to? He's very, I can't believe it's like he's likely to be in the, I mean, he's likely to be in the mix in on Sunday. Like whether that means he's third entering Sunday and can run someone down or whatever. Like, it would be shocking to me if he's out of it come Sunday. So as long as you're holding a ticket where he's in it, I mean, I'm sure you'd feel pretty good because Scottie Scheffler can come back on anyone. I'll tell you what did.
I bet he could deliver a baby in between rounds too. I would just set that up. You know, seriously. I bet he could handle that. No problem. Get out there, do that
on the turn
Saturday night. Yeah. On the turn. Yeah.
Yeah. Just have her ready on the turn and like, yeah, just let her fire it off and then off we go. So what I will say though, is I focused real heavily on more short-term stuff for this tournament, mainly because with it being so iron heavy, irons are kind of streaky. And so I actually shrunk this down to 20 rounds for all of these models that I did. So last 5 or 6 tournaments, depending on if guys made the cut on all of them or not. So it's kind of like the last 5 or 6 tournaments that they played. And with all that, the results, as you would imagine, like we said, Scottie Scheffler, but ended up some of my bets that I got into the account this week did come from model plays. And so at one of the places that I ran the model, Akshay Bhatia came in actually second in 2 of the models that I ran, and he was 7th in the 3rd model that I ran. So 2nd twice and 7th once. So he made the card for me. I know
Matt, I have to go all the way back to 36 rounds before he's anything but second. It is Scottie Scheffler, Akshay Bhatia for me on everything I ran before I go to 36 rounds. At 36 rounds, he's 4th.
Yeah. And so then you kind of get into and I know this is going to sound like cliche or whatever, but I mean, like, Siwoo is 3rd in Siwoo is 3rd in the other ones, and he's 2nd in the one that Akshay is not 2nd. So Siwoo makes the card for me this week. And again, these are all bets that I'm not like, I don't love because Scottie Scheffler's in the field, but like, we got to bet the tournament, right? So like, we're betting the tournament. And so you go in and you look at Siwoo, at least he's accurate with the drive. We know what he does with the irons, you know, tee to green and scrambling. He's good. And so these short Pete Dye courses, we know he's had a ton of success. And so Siwoo makes the card for me this week. Corey Connors is another guy that ended up making the card for me. I know his win equity is not quite what it is, and I'll talk about the strategy for me as to how I ended up betting this week, which has changed a lot from what I've done the last few weeks. But Corey Connors, same deal, guys. 10th in approach. These approach buckets that I put in that I love. He loves that. We know he's a pretty accurate driver of the ball. And so now if he can hit 3 wood or 5 wood or irons or something, he's going to be even more accurate and all that. So Corey Connors makes the card for me this week as well. And then the last guy that made the card, one bomb, and this is strictly a model play. I wasn't considering this guy, wouldn't have considered this guy and looked into him any deeper than I did, had the model not spit out where he was, but I played Nick Taylor at a big price, and then more heavily in a placement market. But Nick Taylor inside the top 10 in all these models that I ran. A lot of that has to do with the fact that he also drives it pretty straight. He also is pretty good in these approach buckets, and his overall approach game really well, really, really good there as well. So that's kind of where I ended up this week, Wes. What ended up on your card?
Yeah. And, you know, just, looking down and seeing some of the guys, by the way, do get discounted from the Masters. So that's something that a little bit worries me. But nevertheless, I did go with at least a horse for the course here. Didn't finish great at the Masters with the 76 on Sunday, but Patrick Cantlay, 4 top 3s in 6 appearances here. He was 3rd here last year. He's 2nd, lost the playoff to Spieth a couple years ago when I was on him, by the way. So I'm ready to get hurt again potentially with him. But Patrick Cantlay, 18-1. Tommy Fleetwood, 21-1. Not the best number, but, you know, 10th at the Genesis, was 7th in Texas before he was 3rd last week at Augusta. And by the way, that 3rd was just kind of consistently rising. Like, he was never really in the mix, but he was playing decent golf. He was kind of lurking down there at the bottom of the top 10 and just kind of kept progressively getting better because he got off to a slow start. 15th and 10th the last 2 years. I think his game really fits here very well. Like, he looks like a guy that should win this event just on how he profiles. So looking for that first PGA Tour victory. And then why not continue that theme? Cameron Young still looking for his first, by the way, top 10 last week at the Masters. One of my placements that did get there, 9th last week, gained close to 5 strokes off the tee, about close to 2.5 on approach, 3 strokes putting. That's combined for all 4 rounds, of course. And then he was 3rd here 2 years ago. Tom Kim at 50-1, who I hadn't bet in a while because I think he's been dealing some injuries and just kind of hadn't been in form. And he only finished 30th at the Masters, but he shot the low round of the day on Sunday by 2 shots at a 6-under 66. So positive momentum. He's played well in kind of these courses. You know, I actually kind of hope the wind blows a little bit more because I think it might favor this guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's runner up at the Open, had 2 top 10s at the Scottish over the last 2 years. So Tom Kim, 50-1. And then a couple shots that I took a little bit down the board because usually, you know, when you have this short of field, it's like, how deep do you want to go?
Yeah.
But I did find some kind of mid-range slash long shots, not really deep bombs, but Christian Bezuidenhout, 66-1. I think he's best on a course like this where it's a little bit shorter layout and the iron play and the short game come into play. He's finished pretty well at the Sony and at Pebble Beach and Colonial. All 3 of those courses, by the way, I think have a correlation here to Harbortown based on maybe some of the past winners. Was 13th at the Players on the Pete Dye Design TPC Sawgrass. So he's made the cut here all 3 years. So Bezuidenhout and Bez, I think, is probably a better like placement market play. Like, he might be a good top 20 guy this week at a decent price, so certainly would recommend that. Sepp Straka, 66-1, who was 3rd here at Harbortown 2 years ago, 16th in the Masters last week, 8th tee to green, 11th off the tee, 11th in approach. And then Mr. Consistency, even though he's really only challenged for the win once, and that was 3 weeks ago at Houston, Taylor Moore, who was 11th on debut here last year. He's made all 10 cuts this season. He's actually made 15 in a row dating back to last year's Open. So Taylor Moore, 70-1.
Yeah, so I will say Cam Young is, so I have 3 guys that I always will say that I'm considering this week, and I'll pick from one of whatever. Cam Young was one of those guys. He kind of falls into that bucket of the deal where we talk about where it's like, you know, he should be longer than everyone else, even if they are hitting less than driver, because he's longer than everyone with the driver, and that should play into his favor there and all that. So I do have him on kind of the short list here with this. Kelly, the only other guy that I didn't mention, I played a short shot, and this is more of a, again, goes into the strategy of how I'm going to bet this event, but I have a little bit on Xander. I think he's probably been the 2nd best player on tour this year as far as a consistency standpoint.
Definitely.
That said, at the 12-1 number, it is not like I went overboard betting that. I went more into the placement market stuff with him and did the top 5 and top 10, where I kind of took 2 units. And what I did was like put 3/4 of a unit on the outright and then split the top 5 and top 10 market on Xander. In a 69 player field, no cut. The consistent as he is, it would shock me if he wasn't at least in contention to get one of those home, if not both of those. I don't know what the win equity is with Scotty in the field, but I did go that direction as well. What ended up making your card?
Yeah. I mean, look, man, you guys, I feel like I've been around for most of these. Shoffley top 10. I was right there, back there with you. We kind of talked about it. I don't think it was last week, but a couple weeks ago, where it's like, I mean, even these events where, okay, you could make a lot of excuses. He's coming in second. He might, maybe he's, you know, he maybe he's getting burnt out. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Shoffley's just been he's been consistent. I mean, he's not winning, but you know, that shouldn't surprise anybody. But he's been consistent right there on the top of the leaderboard every single week. 7 top tens this season. So that was the first bet I made right away. I play, but you know, plus money. I know it's kind of right around even money right now, but shop around. I got him at plus 105, but that was basically what I started with. That was the first bet I made today when I was really diving in handicapping the tournament. I'm glad you guys both brought up Cameron Young and Corey Connors, because those were my first go-to. As soon as odds went up, I was like, okay, Scheffler's not playing in this thing. Let me get in on these two. I ran the model from last year real quick. You know, I looked at some tournament history, spent all 7 minutes, you know, doing a quick cap. It was like, all right, let me get outrights in on Cameron Young, Corey Connors. I think I'm going to like those guys this week. Now, having said that, after doing all my work this afternoon, I don't like them nearly as much. So I'm really glad to hear you two are on them in one way or another, because that makes me feel better. So outrights on them. The only other outright I added was Akshay Batias at 60-1, or anything over 50-1, I would like. I mean, look, just in full transparency, I'm dialing back a bit. This was the Masters kicked the living shit out of me. I'm not going to go dump a bunch of money back here. When, you know, I think from last week's strategy for me, it was the strategy was right. I dialed back a lot of what I was doing outright wise because of Scottie Scheffler. That was a point. But, you know, when you're getting your ass kicked in the top 20s in the tournament matchups, you're clearly just not seeing some things right. So I'm dialing back a bit this week. So just those three outrights, Cameron Young, Corey Connors, Akshay Batia, top 10 on Xander, did play top 20 on Batia at plus 150. And then Taylor Moore, you brought up as well, Wes. He did spike for me and running my numbers as well. Played him a top 20 and we're out 2-1. And then tournament matchups, the only one I've played so far was Taylor Moore over Chris Kirk at about a pick 'em, minus 110 each way on that one. So that's my full card for this week. Really don't know how much more I'm going to add. I do think I'm going to continue to experiment. We were talking about this last week on a numbers game, if you happen to catch that. I think I'm going to continue to experiment with these MGM first-round leader markets of just the with the top fives and the top tens paying in full, when you have a field that is this short, when you scoring is not going to be ridiculously easy. I'm not saying the books haven't priced wrong or anything like that, but I think there's some value in playing in that top 10 market in the first round.
I'll tell you this. I mean, if you want an alternate way to get exposure to Scottie Scheffler, that maybe is the way to do it.
Yeah,
right.
Totally.
Especially if at least there is, what we don't know what the percentage is, but if there is at least some percentage that he might withdraw for this, if the wife goes into labor, like you ain't got to worry about it past that on Monday. If he does it on Thursday. So maybe that's an alternate way to get exposure to Scottie Scheffler, is to go in and take a look at first round leader, first round top five, first round top 10. I mean, you're gonna be laying juice, but like, do you think Scottie Scheffler is probably not going to be in the top 10 of a 69 player field? I don't know. I mean, like it'd be shocking.
I think he was plus like 170 in that for the top 10 on that last week when I was looking, Matt, because I was beating myself up. Of course, I landed on Xander and Hideki Matsuyama, who didn't do jack diddly for me. So I was like, why the hell wouldn't I just take it Scheffler? He was like close to the same odds.
I actually met Jack Diddley when I was in Augusta.
That was the member looking for. Yeah,
I actually met him whenever I was there. So he was
he could have got you a cocktail.
Yeah. But the thing is, as Kelly mentioned, he doesn't do anything for you. Jack, so quick recap for me: Xander outright top five, top 10. Siwoo outright top five, top 10. Connors outright, and then just a top 10. So I cut off the top five on once I got to these like higher odd guys, because I'm still getting a decent payout in the top 10 market. So Connors outright top 10, Batia outright top 10, Nick Taylor outright, then top 20 is all I have in the account right now. I said the three guys I do, you know, again, they're lurking. I got to figure out how I want to go about it. I mentioned Cam Young, Shane Lowry, and Chris Kirk are the other two. Shane Lowry, Chris Kirk, really, really popping in the model. Shane Lowry more than anybody else. So
yeah, I can't do it again this week. Kick rocks, Shane.
I know.
You're dead to me for a couple weeks, man. I can't do it again.
I know. But it's just, you look and it's just the the approach numbers specifically on those bucket thing, like tee to green, he's just so friggin' good. It's everything else that sucks. But
I mean, he putted terribly last week, right? Yeah. I mean, he was one of those guys that I was on and just putted absolutely terrible. The one guy I wanted, I'm sorry, but were you through them all? Because I want to go back to one of the guys you bet.
Yes. Yeah.
Was Siwoo on your card, Wes? He's not on mine right now. Okay.
I was almost, there's a lot of people that like Siwoo this week. So I think for really good reason. He's very good on Pete Dye's, by the way.
Okay. So I think he's a fascinating case, right? Because we always say that he's really good on Pete Dye courses, but you pull up tournament history here and it's holy hell, a lot of, you know, 30s and 40s and missed cuts, even when this wasn't an elevated event. And Matt, he really spiked for me. You know, I love Siwoo Kim. I was like, all right, I don't know what I'm going to do with this one. I left him off the card for now. You might have talked me into you maybe making a top 20 bet or something on him. I was just shocked to see his poor results here.
Yeah, it was just more for me, just what the model spit out. It wasn't necessary. Yeah. I mean, eighth in this field, tee to green, last 20 rounds, fourth in good drive percentage type stuff, edge of the fairway deals, scrambling. He's actually inside the top 15. So, you know, again, it's just like that type of stuff. Do I think Siwoo wins it? You know what? It's just kind of one of those. I got to bet someone.
So
I kind of went with that. Some outlier guys, you know, that I didn't put in, but just I at least want to mention that did were kind of outliers. Weirdly, Austin Eckroat showed up in the model higher than I thought. Tom Hoagie showed up in the models higher than I thought. And Lucas Glover as well showed up in the models higher than I thought, too. Probably because I put in no putting whatsoever, and Lucas Glover's back on the thing where he can't putt anymore. But
those guys are really high on approach too. They're just numbers. Other than, you know, obviously Scotty is in another stratosphere, but those guys are like, you know, top three, top five on approach that I've noticed really. Mm-hmm. And this is deep history too, not just last 24, going back last 36 as well.
Yeah. So anyway, those are guys that if you're looking for somebody else, you can at least dig a little bit deeper than them. I'm only going to put so many things on my card this week. And like I said, betting strategy, guys, the way I'm going about this week until I figure out how to really navigate, this is kind of like, this is almost unprecedented for us, you know, where we do have a guy that's just so incredibly dominant and so whatever. So like I said, I'm going in on these guys and I'm not doing the whole, it doesn't matter what your personal betting strategy. I have a personal betting strategy for me. I'm altering it to where I usually will put a decent amount on outrights. I like whenever I hit an outright that's going to be good for me, like moving forward. Fortunately, did have a 65-1 a week ago. So it's like, I'm kind of good from that standpoint from here on out, but I'm just not going to piss away money, you know, like on these shorter field stuff where I think Scotty's win equity is so high. So like I said, I peeled back the outright price on all these guys and put like much more into these top five, top 10, top 20, stuff like that. And, you know, listen, battle it out to be in that top 10 and understand that Scotty might run away with this thing by three or four strokes again. I'm fine with that. But until I see something different, that's kind of how I'm going to look at specifically these short field events, right? Where, I mean, a no cut event. You tell me Scotty can't go 7-under, 7-under on a Saturday, Sunday to come back and win a frig. Of course he can.
You're giving him a free bingo square basically to have a bad round on Thursday or Friday and actually have time to recover.
So it's just for me, that's how I'm going to do this tournament. We'll see how it pans out. I am not too cocky in my betting stuff to not be able to mess around with stuff and like try and figure out what works and what can be more profitable with everything. Like just because stuff's worked in the past, we haven't had someone be as dominant as Scotty in quite some while. So I've got to adjust.
And I would say the regular reminder, we brought it up on a few pods, you know, already this year, but there a lot of those shops will have that winner without market. Make sure to check it out. I mean, it's not something I really dabbled with last week, but you know, tournaments beforehand. Yeah. I've been there. I've been in those and, simple price shopping too, right? Like there where it will blow your mind how many times you can find it. If you walk into one guy where odds are, maybe you're getting them, I'm just making up something, but you know, 20-1 a winner without market, and you shop around, that's the best number you can find in that. And then you might find outrights that are the same damn number in other shops, just depending if they've been bet or not.
Yeah. So it's, uh, you know, it's just, it's interesting, and we'll see how it all plays out. I'm rooting for that baby to come. I'm rooting for a few weeks of being able to bet some tournaments without Scotty in the field. That is for sure. Guys, a reminder, over at VSiN.com, you can get Wes's full write-up of the course, all the breakdown. If you want to go in and do your own stuff, your own research, be sure we encourage the hell out of that. The ongoing reminder that whenever we say our models, we are using someone else's coding. We are not coders. We are not code a model. We're just going in and plugging in some information that we find important, but letting their algorithm spit out what the outcome is. So just, again, I don't want to give credit where credit's due. I don't want people to think that I'm sitting here saying that I'm some sort of coder and I invented a model. I did not. So I am using someone else's great work on all of that. Shout out to Bet the Number. Shout out to Rick Rungood. Shout out to Bet Spurts out there. Use all three of those and take their information and kind of go from there with how I'm going to construct a betting card. Again, if you want $41 off an annual subscription, promo code golf over at VSiN.com. If you want all of our picks, VSiN.com/picks as well. For Wes, for Kelly, I'm Matt. Good luck on all your RBC bets.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.